Can you briefly summarize the results of the BCI investigation and what happened on the 30th, 31st of July?
Our job was to detail exactly what happened, who did what, and when. And we presented that today to the public, and I presented it to the county prosecuting attorney here in Greene County several days ago. I mean, this is a horrible tragedy. You had a man who had severe mental health problems for many, many years, who was an alcoholic, who was drinking that day, who had a tragedy with losing a cat that day, which just upset him greatly. He also had an arsenal of guns and ammunition. So it's a perfect recipe for disaster. You know, the police ended up firing six times at him. He fired well over 100 times out of that house. He was firing almost at 360 degrees. We did calculations. Our agents did calculations. If he had been firing out of an open window, which we believe at least for part of it he was, you know, those bullets could have flown 1 mile, 1 mile radius, which takes in most of Yellow Springs. Most of the residents in Yellow Springs theoretically could have been hit. It can be lethal even at that distance of 1 mile. So a real tragedy. I think we need to use this as an opportunity to look at the mental health challenges we face. Forever, you know, there's thousands of Paul E. Shanks who live in the state of Ohio. These are individuals, many of them get treatment, and many of them are doing fine. They're living among us, and they're functioning well. But for those who do not get treatment, who either refuse treatment or do not have the ability to get treatment, they're a danger to themselves. They're a danger to others. We need, frankly, to give families of adults who have problems, mental health problems, we need to give those families the ability to go into court much easier and then to get something done to help that person protect themselves, to actually order that person to get treatment. We need to give judges more options. Today, a judge has three options, and they're all bad. A family comes in and says he's got a mental health problem, and the judge determines that and determines he's a danger to himself and determines he's a danger to the community. But the judge then has an option. I can do nothing. I can send him to jail, and they're not going to get any treatment in jail, and they're eventually going to come out of jail. Or I can put them in a mental hospital, and there's no more room in mental hospitals in Ohio. So we need to give them a fourth option, and it's a viable option, and that is treatment in the community. That will go a long way to solve problems like this. You know, it's interesting to look at the historical sweep of how we deal with the mentally ill. Up until 60s, 70s, we were warehousing the mentally ill. It was horrible, horrible conditions. People were locked up that never should have been locked up. I mean, just every horror movie, everything you can think of. We don't want to go back to that. What we do want to do, though, is recognize that we've not come up with a very good alternative. We have not funded the alternative very well, nor have we given our judges the ability to compel that individual for his own good, her own good, the good of society, and the good of the family to actually have treatment in the community. Treatment in the community is the key.